On the cover, Jitterbug and Lycho creep through shelves of crates in a dark factory. Together, shrouded in darkness, they approach the fifth-dimensional flux capacitor on display in the center of the warehouse. A glass case covers it, and it is surrounded by laser tripwires.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Lycho, the human disco ball.
Prepare to be shocked. It's Jitterbug.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Reformers number 2, Darkest Light.
The first panel is the inside of an interview cell in a prison that looks just dark and dank and just like horribly underfunded. And there's a guy sitting there in the cheapest suit imaginable. It's like it is, and it's not even like a cheap suit that like kind of passes. It's brown and it doesn't like fit in any way. It isn't even like cut. No person could wear this in a way that it would look good. And he's got just like bright green pants and is smoking a cigar even while he's inside there. And the door slams open and we just get the outline of Lycho in his Darkest Light costume. And the guy immediately stands up. He is cuffed to the table, but like is standing up with one arm down and just goes, "Hey, Lycho, don't even come in here. You forget about it."
Sorry, so why am I here?
line.
And then we just get cut. And the director walks over and like immediately there's people coming over to like hand coffee to the mobster. Yeah. And he goes, "You're here because you think that he has he has news on the Barandi family. And like, you know, if you just follow up with him, maybe you're here to like, you know, put the screws in him. And, you know, kind of take care of that."
Right. Yeah. Sorry. I was out late last night. Just forgot that part of the script. I'll get it this time.
And we get the next panel that shows like outside of like the immediate set. There's just like sounds coming from the direction of your trailer.
I'm just going to be like, "You know what, actually, I'm going to take a break. I think 5 minutes will help me clear my head. I'll remember everything. And I'm just going to start walking out."
All right. Take 5. Someone, where's that key? And the guy like is like trying to get out of the handcuff and is definitely not getting out of the handcuff anytime soon.
And I'm going to head out to the trailer.
Yeah. And so out in the trailer, you're sitting in the trailer already.
Sure.
And we get just this, the fifth dimensional flux capacitor is just like spinning and whirring, and like occasionally little bolts of electricity come off of it, or there will be like a section of like filament that just like flicks out and shatters a coffee mug and stuff like that. This thing is dangerous to have anywhere.
Yeah. And I get it. As I'm walking into the trailer, I'm pulling off gloves and my hands are covered in like a ton of Band-Aids. I just look at the thing and shake my head. Why did I have to be the one who picked this thing up?
Because I knew you would.
You were right. Yeah, but well. Do we figure out what it does yet?
Other than breaking your coffee cups, no.
I like those.
I'm sure you can buy more.
Yeah, but I have to go to a store, I guess. Maybe I can find someone from the show to go get something. Whatever. Anyway.
She's just rolling her eyes at this.
Let's figure out what it is and get it out of my trailer.
Well, I know someone that can tell us what to do with this.
Yeah?
Wait, can tell me what to do with it. Okay. Like, she like gets really guarded looking for a second there. Because for a second there, she's thinking of us as a we.
Mm.
And that kind of hits her in a funny way.
That panel is a full page panel. And right after Lycho saying we have to figure out what it is, there's a little thing, the editor's box, and it says, It's a fifth dimensional flux capacitor, editor's note. Nice. And then after you introduce like someone who wants it, underneath it says, that's probably a tactotron, question mark, editor.
Unless we can put it in the show, and then maybe that would be a good, I mean, it's got a lot of cool spinny things. Do you think I could use it for the show? It's a pretty good effect.
It's not a lava lamp, unless it's made from a real volcano.
Well, do you need to take it to your friend? Or can like I come with you to see your friend? Or can I borrow it while you're going to your friend?
Why don't you just keep it here? I'll go talk to my friend, and then maybe they'll know how to move it.
Okay.
Don't touch it.
I won't touch it.
there's like a spinning circular blade that flicks out of it for a minute and then flicks back in.
Once Jitterbug is gone, I'm going to walk back in and just be like, is there a grip or someone I can get? I have a cool thing in my trailer. Can we get that onto the soundstage somewhere?
That's awful. All right. So we get a couple panels that show you like, jumping down into the sewers.
Yeah, like kind of lower, like where she's up on the skyline. Then there's the middle panel where it's like the middle city. Then the subways. And then her walking to where there's like, it's like this thing that's been embedded in the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of, you can see like the pipes and all the underground stuff that are normally there. But it's like, whatever this object is that's been embedded in here is sort of like kind of taken over slightly. It's like it's embedded itself into it. It's not like it's just crashed in, mm-hmm. but it's like slowly attaching itself.
There's like metal pipes and coils that have like all moved into the systems as you go deep enough, and it is deep. Like we see exactly as you said, like the basements, we see the subways, we see like some of the under subways where there's like the teen miscreants hanging out down there, and then a couple more layers down is when we get into a tactotron.
Are you awake?
There's a buzzing sound and a big CRT monitor that's just embedded into part of the ground suddenly flickers to light, and it does the thing across. And a voice crackles out, yes, there is no rest for a tactotron.
This
and
it is has like full the huge text. Font. Yep.
Yeah, big like metallic text that has like bolts of electricity coming off of it. And then all around the space, just the different screens start turning on and things start whirring. And there's just like a door that cranks up near you and comes into view.
And the O in a tactotron, the center of that O is the same sigil that's on her wristbands.
Yes, absolutely. Did you find it?
I found it.
Is it here?
I can't really carry it. Do you have some kind of, I don't know, containment unit? I don't think it's safe for people like me.
There's a long pause, and you can hear like hard drives grinding. Yeah. Things just like not working. And there's just ticks and turns and like lights turning on and off. And then it says, out here is not safe. Enter. We will discuss.
She's standing proud, and then she hangs her head and walks in.
And it's tight in there. It's you have to step over like some really thick power cables. You have to duck under a broken light. It's dark. It smells like burning rubber and computer parts. And there is just a console and just screens and cameras all around you in a dome around your head.
I sit right in the middle.
And all of them just flash to light. And all other light in the area just dims a little bit. And it's just all of these monitors that are on to... They have a vague video of a face, but it's really hard to make out what the face is. It looks somehow wrong. It's the cheeks are stretched sort of down and outward in what looks almost like mandibles coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely isn't clear enough to say what it is approximating. It might be approximating a human and just doing a not great job of it. But it says, you have found it and you did not bring it here. Why?
I had no way of carrying it. I couldn't have brought it down here. It would have killed me.
Does not compute. I have no way of bringing it down. You have arms and legs. And across the different cameras, it starts like showing your arms and legs on the different screens.
For sure. And like into them, like X-ray. Yeah, like yeah. Different like...
X-rays and like you can see like your nerve patterns projected in front of you. And like it's all a little gruesome because it's not... The monitors aren't at straight angles from each other. They're all at different like random spacing.
You didn't tell me it was turned on.
You simply must turn it off.
Simply? How?
It pauses for a minute again, and a arm, like a metal arm, comes out from the wall, holding just a little metal cube. It says, you must use the key.
I'll take it.
And like as you take it, it unfolds out into a... into something, it looks like some kind of a USB sort of device, but it's definitely not USB. Like, you know, it's something that you are supposed to plug into the fifth dimensional flux capacitor.
Is this it?
Yes. It must be put into the plug, and then it will shut down. Do not allow connection with hard light.
Hard light? Who's got hard light?
And so now we're back with Light Show. So it took some work, but luckily Grips are extremely talented. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
A lot of duct tape.
They made like a stretcher for it, I think.
I think it was just literally the table it was on. They removed the whole table from this trailer.
Which took some doing because the table had to go into the trailer sideways when it originally went in. And so like moving that out, they had to take out a part of the wall of the trailer and are now like getting that put back together. But they've got this under control. So now it's sitting right by Craft Services. So there's like lines of corn Fanta and some muffins and stuff like that. And then just this horrible spinning thing.
And Light Show is just talking to the director and he's like, I don't know where this should go in the episode, but I just think it's really cool looking. And like, I've got it for like maybe another hour. So can't we work it into something?
How? Light Show. This show takes place in the 1990s.
I mean, it's alien tech, clearly.
Right, well, for all the aliens we've had in your show.
Well, I don't know, write some new ones in? I mean, like, you're going to really pass up this opportunity?
I don't even know what to tell you. I guess we can... Shoot some scenes now and come back to the writing.
Yeah. Do we still have the miniature city model? Maybe we could just put it in that like it's a crashed spaceship or something. I'm sure we'll go back to that again at some point.
And one of the grips is just like, yeah, I can go get out the miniature city. That 400-pound miniature city. And you just see them
great. Yeah, excellent.
And they're just like sadly going to go move things around. As you're standing there waiting, your phone starts to ring.
Okay. I would pull it out and look at it.
Yeah. And like,
is it a number I know?
Is
it a number that's already in my phone? Because it's not in my phone. I don't know who it is.
Yeah. No, clearly not. Does your phone have the thing where it tells you who's calling even if it doesn't have even if you don't have it in the thing?
Yeah.
I've got that. Yeah. Now. I love it.
Caller ID. It's smart. It knows who's calling.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a smartphone.
Yeah.
So who's calling me?
Crawdad.
Oh. He is just like, takes a deep breath, centers himself. He knew this conversation was probably coming. They were not that stealthy. And he's going to answer the phone. Mr. Dad, or Mr. Craw, what do I call you?
Crawdad will do.
How can I help you?
Now, I was looking up my tapes last night because something of mine was missing. And
I saw someone wearing a kind of familiar outfit to something I'd been watching the day before.
I'd be like, you watch my show?
Yeah, were you in my lab last night?
Would you be mad if I said yes?
And you just hear like that intake, and we get just the image of Crawdad in his lab, standing right next to where the fifth dimensional flux capacitor was.
And there's just a little word bubble from the phone, and it's the little jaggy, and it just says, sometimes you have to understand that when the light is the darkest.
Nope. You need to return that thing right away.
We're about to load it into a shot for the show. I would really appreciate if I could hang on to it for like another, maybe.
Listen, kid, you got sloppy. You let your face be seen. You left a whole bunch of blood here. That's how I knew it wasn't a doppelganger.
Look, everyone sees my face. I have a TV show. Or they see the mask.
And I can trace this to your hospital records. I cleaned it up for you, took care of it. You gotta be smarter. You're being an idiot out there.
Is he?
And he's shifting your labels.
Oh, no.
Very nice.
He is lowering your superior and raising your mundane.
Lowering my superior, raising my mundane. I'm gonna accept that, I think.
Okay.
Because he's like a real legit hero.
He's a pretty legit hero, yeah. Retired, but legit. This is also the meanest Crawdad has ever been. He has always been so nice. Don't touch his stuff. Now, if you tell me where you are, I'll come by and pick it up, and I won't cut my damn hands off doing it.
Where are we now? And he's just gonna like put a hand on the phone and yell off to someone and just be like, which studio are we at? And then he's gonna put the phone back up and say, I think we're at Studio B.
And there's like a flurry of E from a bunch of different people.
Because he's lying.
Yeah, I assume that you probably were.
He's lying, yeah. We're definitely not in the right. Yeah. So he's sending them to Studio B.
Yeah. And he doesn't even say anything else to you. He just hangs up. He's clearly very angry.
I just look at the phone. That was kind of rude.
And
I save his phone number.
Nice. Crawdad. Crawfish image.
Yeah.
And I think maybe let's have you get back, Jitterbug, before Crawdad gets there.
Okay, that sounds good.
Because Crawdad is like, Light Show is doing something dumb. Light Show is not suddenly a supervillain. Yes, he was there with someone that his camera couldn't pick up properly, but I'm sure there's a logical explanation for this. It's probably just Light Show being a dumbass, but yeah, so you get back to the studio.
I'll be there, obviously in civilian gear, so I just look like a fangirl. And I'll be like, if there are fangirls there, do you have fangirls, show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you've got all kinds of fans.
I will be very unenthusiastic, and I will not be holding any signs or posters, but I'll be like waiting for him to motion me in.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear all of the sounds from inside.
But not from inside the trailer.
But not the trailer.
I see the damage being repaired on the trailer, and I'm just going to start storming it like, I'm dropping the facade, and I'm just storming in. Do I know your real name?
Yeah, probably. I don't think he's an actor of sorts. I don't think he really hides who he is.
Okay.
I mean, he's billed in the TV show as Reggie Lightman.
Okay.
Reggie Lightman, okay. No, I would never call you Reggie. You're just Light Show to me. Like, that's, okay. Light Show, what? Light Show! Just storming in.
Ah, shit. Look, I just spoke with Crawdad on the phone. He called me and he said we have to use this in a shot for next week's episode. He's a huge fan of the show.
He didn't know you.
I mean, I guess he knows me. I didn't know that he knew me. That was news to me. I'm pretty still like excited about that. But anyway, he said, like, he's not super mad that we have this thing. He just, like, he wants us to use it in the show. So if you could just go wait outside, we'll get the shot. It won't be a problem. And then it'll be great. He gives you two thumbs up.
Make it fast. I've got a way to turn it off.
Okay, well, yeah, no, don't turn it off now, though. We just spent, half an hour setting it up.
And it's in like the middle of this enormous fake city that has been used for kaiju battles in the past.
Nice.
Yeah.
You definitely need to illuminate that with some kind of like very...
Oh, yeah. Light show.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this key thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting in the trail, like I see all the damage. And I'm just like, I'm starting to just like think, is it just all a facade?
You know what I'd like you to do?
What's that?
I'd like you to roll for your obligations. I feel like this is fun time for this to potentially kick in.
They call for a favor.
All right. How do your sources of obligation contact you?
Well, I guess if it's a Tactitron, they would go through my tech.
Through your tech. Okay. What about Damascus Steel?
Damascus Steel would have my grandmother call me.
Okay.
Not like not that she's not in.
Yeah.
But if it was serious, I'd get a call from her.
Okay.
To be told where to go. One of your friends wants you. Oh, yeah. Junie, one of your friends needs a little help.
Perfect.
And it would be just like, yeah, that's how it would work.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what's happening. Your grandma's calling you.
Abuelito, what? I'm doing some work.
Oh, Junie, I just thought I would give a real quick call. One of your friends was calling. Your friend Dom from engineering class was calling. He said he sounded very, very upset about something. He asked if you could call him right back.
Did he leave a place or a number?
He left a number.
Okay, I'll call him. Love you.
And she's like, oh. And then would you have a number?
Oh, I know the number.
Okay, cool.
So I'm just scrolling through, mm-hmm. and it's like I open up my deleted bin, mm-hmm. and it's in there.
Nice.
And I'm just like, undelete. And I press it.
Junie.
Sir?
Very nice of you to call me back so quickly. I very much appreciate it.
I know you're a very busy man.
Yesterday, you were at my facility. And you took a little something of mine.
That was them. That was the family.
I'm not an idiot, Junie. Additionally, there was a break-in at Crawtech yesterday.
Okay.
I believe that you have acquired the item for which I had the blueprint.
So just make another one.
You know it's not that simple. I'd like it brought to me immediately.
I don't have it.
Who has it?
Some cape. Snatched it from me.
Who has it?
This guy called Light Show.
Thank you. If you're in the area, I suggest you leave.
Do you need anything else?
No, Junie. That will be all.
Thank you. Click.
And...
Light Show!
Yeah, you know Damascus is going to be sending one of his hit crews now. They're going to arrive quickly. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm calling out for Light Show, and I'm running to the studio where he was going to.
Okay, what the hell is going on in this tiny city?
Is
Light Show giant right now?
There's the city on a table, and mm-hmm. there's the thing is in the middle, and it's just like tearing through this tiny city. And there is like this rail system. That's like suspended over the table, and so there's like one like little fishing line, and there's like the light mobile, the light jet, and this little model of the light jet is being like flown around the city, and then for some reason at the same time they have a set of the inside of the cockpit of the light jet, and he's sitting in it in costume. And it's just like the most Batman-y looking, like over-engineered plane. I don't know. It can't be like a giant flying L because that's stupid. But it's like it's like something that's nearly that stupid.
Okay, great. Well, Jitterbug just ran into the set, and so like immediately the director's like, "Cut, Cut.
Jay, you can't just storm in here. Like, yes, I can. Filming.
There's something's more important than filming. Can we talk?
Nothing
quick?
Is more important.
Don't than do filming. That voice on me.
Nothing is more important than filming.
And I'm just giving you this look that is saying, come and talk to me in private now.
And I'm going to just unstrap the like three straps that are in this like costumey seat and just yell to the director, look, I need to take a break. Let's take another 5 minutes, find something. I don't know. Finish the rest of the scene. We'll get the interior of the plane later.
Oh, my God. Yeah, cut. Take five.
And then I'm going to follow her out.
So, yeah, just to the side there, like where there's all like the backs of the facades and the set dressing. Damascus Steel is sending a kill team here to retrieve his little toy fan.
He's just going to come kill me in the middle of like this public place.
Do you know anything about him?
I know he's not an idiot.
Well, he's not going to be doing it personally, but he will leave a personal touch. He thinks that fan belongs to him. But I know who it really belongs to.
Who?
My friend.
And who is your friend?
Well, it doesn't really have a name, but I call it a Tactitron.
And that's in the same big Attack-a-tron letters.
Attack-a-tron is always in that name. Or that font.
Sounds like a villain we would have had on last season. Okay, so what are we going to do?
We turn it off, and I whip out this little weird key thing, and I take it to where it belongs.
And you think that giving this whatever it is lady thing and giving it to a robot called Attack-a-tron.
It's not a robot, it's just a bunch of junk that talks.
And you think that giving it this weird alien machine is a good idea?
It's better than leaving it here in the hands of Damascus Steel.
All right, I see your point. I guess sometimes when the light is darkest.
Oh, come on with that!
You've got to turn to the shadows.
And I'm just like storming away back into the set. And he's like still standing there monologuing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. This thing is a spinning, horrific vortex of bizarre lights and blades and bits and filaments. But as you start bringing the key closer to it, it starts to slow down and warp.
And warp.
Yes. So the inside of it, like the center of the oscillating thing, has been just a flurry of metal.
Sure.
But as the key comes closer, it starts to shape into two purple spinning circles that bisect each other.
Cool.
And so that's just like coming around in different rapid spinning circles that looks different. And so like now you can see that there is a center of this that not only is not blades, but is actually some sort of a magical or alien tech thing. And you can see that in the center of it is the little hole that is clearly where the key needs to go.
So I got to stick my hand in there.
You would have to stick your hand in there. Now, I can tell you that you can take your time. Sure. In theory, except there is a kill squad here.
There's
soon.
A kill squad coming, yes.
But I'm not saying like this is the moment that happens, but there is going to be a custom move that rolls when you do.
Okay.
So what do you do as you're looking at it?
I'm glancing at my hand holding the key, and I'm glancing over then at Light Show's bloodied hands. And I'm covered. Like thinking in my mind, like I'm looking at the clock. And the seconds are ticking, I'm like, I know how fast a team can be deployed.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Light Show.
Yeah?
Do you care about anybody?
Yeah, I care about all my fans.
That's not what I mean. Would you miss any of them if they were gone?
Yeah.
Would you know their name?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Katie.
That's it?
I'm sure I can name another one. Crawdad. Do you know he's a fan of my show?
I've heard. Well, my name's Junie, and I stuck the key in.
All right. Okay.
That's good.
When you reach into the fifth dimensional flux capacitor, roll plus freak. On a hit, you get the key in and shut off the capacitor. On a 7-9, your reality is warped. Take a powerful blow as a dark future jitterbug's consciousness enters your mind. On a miss, mark two conditions and take a powerful blow as you are flooded with other selves.
Let's do it.
Cool, cool, cool.
And that, my friends, would be a 6.
All right.
Can I help?
Let me quick paint the moment, though. So you are like moving forward, and the rift in the middle is just getting bigger. And as you get closer to it, you start to put out your arm, and an arm comes out of the rift.
Cool.
And it looks like your same armor, but the alien tech on the arm is like cracked, and there's just like long mud-soaked fingernails.
Okay, cool.
That like grab onto your arm, and you are just surrounded. Like you're pulled closer to. As you're pulled closer to the rift, we see just a series of jitterbug heads coming off of your own head.
Cool. I can totally visualize this.
And forming like different layers on top. And the reality around you is just going to break.
And they have like different scars and wounds. And
yeah.
And it's just all
nothing,
this.
Nothing looks good.
Nothing looks
there
good.
There is no happy jitterbug in this.
This one jitterbug is the happiest there is. And the rest are like...
Everything else is worse.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, I think what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to generate light. Like I think he does this like his go-to move is he like kind of rubs his hands to like create some static electricity, but it's not static electricity, it's just light beams. And then he like just creates this like burst of light, and it's just like pure earthly our dimensional light.
Mm,
and I'm
okay.
trying to like blind out the other dimensional visions,
like cover the energy. Cause like,
yeah.
it can't have both that present. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it's going to go down. Cause that team's going to add a plus one.
Okay.
So we get this panel that shows light show just like blasting light. And we see the different dimensional alters essentially, like fading away and returning their consciousness to their own dimensions and everything like that. And the key just slams into the slot. And as that happens, the initial one that grabbed your arm just inverts itself around you for a
totally
moment.
Totally cool.
And so it like splits out and comes back in, and you just... There's just a, there's like a thought scream that is coming in just your head that uses some of the textile from the Protean City's apocalypse line.
Okay, great.
And so I would like you to take a powerful
blow.
Oh,
I'm taking that powerful blow.
Yeah.
That'd be a 10, my dear. That would be a 10. Sorry, Jitterbug.
So in a 10 plus... You either remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out, etc., lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way. Two options from the 7-9 list. And then 7-9 is lash out verbally, provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. Give ground, your opposition gets an opportunity. Or struggle past the pain, mark two conditions.
No, I'm going to go for one of the 10 plus ones. Probably like the...
So it's remove yourself or lose control of yourself or your powers
lose
in a terrible
way. Lose control, like the alter, like... Bad jitterbug.
Can I just please jitter bad?
Jitter bad. Oh yeah, jitter bad. Like, hi, I'm jitter bad.
And so we get just like this moment where Jitterbug falls to her knees for a second and is just like violently shaking and with her eyes closed. And when they open, one of them just is cataract over. And like pale white.
Get ready to be shocked. Hi, I'm Jitterbad.
Yeah, and so you are now that character.
For sure.
Not necessarily permanently.
Yeah.
But for now, you are that character. You are from a dark dystopian future.
For sure.
You are where you are a hero because you're Jitterbug,
mm-hmm.
but you are a hero who has seen some horrible things and done some horrible things. And that is when the black van is going to arrive outside of the studio with Damascus Steel's enforcers.
Nice.
There's a driver in the front. He's got just like glowing green eyes. Just looks like one of his dudes. But in the back, there's two people that jump out. One of them is in tight black leather armor and has a big like fencing saber looking sword. And underneath him, it just says, "Riposte." And nice. Out of the other side of the car comes a huge muscular woman with big bladed hands, essentially. Like enormous gauntlets with sharp claws on the end of it. And she's the Iron Badger. And the two of them just get out of the car and are moving right towards the set.
So Jitterbad's going to look over towards Light Show and go, "So Sparky, is killing legal yet?" And she's like in this like weird fight pose.
Light Show is going to kind of, he's going to give you a weird look. He's going to say, "Sometimes when the light is the darkest,
then you must reach into the shadows."
Yes.
And she's like jumping in.
Jitterbad just slams through the wall. Like, you wouldn't have thought that this was possible with Jitterbad's previous skills and expertise, but she just like, maybe she like uses the alien tech and like brings it around quick and then slams through it. The Iron Badger and Riposte are right there. They see her, and Riposte just lifts their blade towards Jitterbad's head and says, "Stand down now."
I think I'm going to stand up. And I jump up, and I'm going to be landing like on his blade hand.
Okay.
Like this, like the pretty balancing. And I'm just like grabbing his head with my electro gauntlets.
Nice. Go ahead and directly engage a threat.
Here we go. That'd be a 6. Unless you want to help.
So I obviously burst through this wall. I wasn't going to do it by myself, but if Jitterbad burst through the wall,
there's a door there already.
There's maybe a door right next to it, so I'm going to walk through that because I'm not like not a heathen. It's my
you're not.
This is my own studio. I know where the doors are. And I kind of like hit a pose for a moment, but then you're already like out leaping, so I'm like, all right, missed that part already. And I'm looking around to see if there's any like the crew or the fans still in the area. Like who's like what kind of fight is this going to be? Is this going to be like we're going to get some things done, or is this going to be like there are people watching, so I need to be a little showy kind of a fight?
The fans are definitely running. Like this escalated very quickly.
Okay.
And they're not 100% sure who are good guys and who are bad guys.
Okay.
Which like if you can tell who the good guys are, you stay kind of on their side of things, but Jitterbad bursting out at the same time that like known villainous henchmen are coming in.
So in that case, I think if Jitterbad is like on top of this guy, like doing some shocking stuff, then I might just like walk up and just like try to punch him.
Okay.
While he's distracted.
Yeah.
Riposte.
It's not very showy, but like no one's watching right now. So
yeah. So Riposte is, you're standing on their hand.
But how a fencer stands with their hand. Yeah. Like that. And like, that's just a perch for me.
Perfect.
I'm just jumping on top of that.
So they're pulling their hand back to get ready to just like stab up into you.
For sure.
And Light Show just gets to them. And where are you punching them?
Right in the hand.
Okay.
Obviously.
And just like comes up and like thump, which like knocks their balance off a little bit. So now you're going to have a 7-9.
Sure.
You can resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm there to impress, surprise, and impress. So.
Okay.
I want them to be dismayed.
Okay.
Riposte thinks they're kind of cool. They're very fancy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just this feral, crazy, electric girl.
Mm-hmm. So the electricity just like arcs through, and you're putting like more power than Jitterbug would normally do.
For sure.
And Riposte takes the hit.
For sure.
And manages to do a like twirling motion that brings their arm around Light Show and then like swings up underneath Light Show's arm in order to stab you in the back, Jitterbug.
Sure.
Basically like transferring you from one arm to the other and then slicing up into you.
Ouch.
Go ahead and take a powerful blow.
Sure. Let's see if I can. There we go.
Oh, that's a 9 plus 1?
Yeah.
All right, that's another 10.
I know.
So you can lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way.
Yes, that's what I do.
Okay. So like, the blade connects with you, and the electricity just arcs through from your hands to Riposte, all through Riposte, all along the blade, and you, Light Show, and Riposte are just all getting electrocuted.
For sure.
And like you have formed a circuit, and you cannot get off of each other at this point. Light Show, that hurts.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I think I'm just trying, like, if I'm being electrocuted, then I'm just like reflexively pulsing light. Okay. In that way that I do to just try to like blind people, to try to like shake the situation.
Okay.
Just like get out of this electric nonsense.
Okay. And light is energy. And yeah. We're a comic book.
Yeah.
Roll to unleash your powers.
8.
All right. So would you like to mark a condition, or should I tell you how it's unstable or temporary?
I would like to mark a condition.
All right. Sounds good. That sounds perfect, actually.
I'm going to mark insecure.
Awesome. Yeah. So you're flashing your light and pulsing and like, You find the right light frequency to turn off the electricity for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of you are able to like get away from each other. That hurt a lot.
Yeah.
You're still like feeling, you've got like just tightness in your jaw from having that much electricity. And Iron Badger is running straight towards you. She's got like a foot and a half of height on you.
Yeah.
And just these enormous metal claw blades that she has in her hands.
I was going to try to talk to her, but doesn't seem like she wants to talk.
As she's running up, she just like shouts out, "Where's the thing?"
I'm going to try to dodge out of the way.
Okay.
I'm not trying to attack her.
Okay.
I think I'm just trying to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And not get hurt.
And right now, you're able to like just duck underneath one of her swings, and it goes like just right over your head, and she like stabs it into a van for a second and then pulls it out.
Yeah.
And she's like just looking down at you and goes, "Bring us the thing and we won't slice you." And just like chasing after you with those claws coming right again.
I want to, so I'm running back into the set.
Sparky, where are you going? Just burn her eyes out.
And I'm looking for anything on the soundstage that looks like it could conceivably be an alien device. Because she just keeps calling it a thing, and what I'm guessing is that she doesn't actually know what it is.
Okay. So I'm looking for any... Even if she's had it described, it's changed now.
Yeah, it's changed now. So I'm looking for anything that looks like it could be a bomb or something from an episode previous, and I'm just going to grab it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to assess. I'm assessing the situation to see if there I can find something.
If you
that
can find
is plausibly, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll.
That's an 8.
It's an 8. Okay. So you get to ask one question, I believe.
Make it a good one.
I'm going to ask, what here can I use to pass off as an alter, like as a dummy version of the device?
There was a scene 2 seasons back where Light Show was tortured by some lizard people from underground, and they had like a device that clamped onto your head. It was made from like one of those head massage machines.
Yeah.
And like a lot of other just bits and bobs, including an oscillating fan. And that would probably, it looks similar enough That if it was just described, if she's seen it,
yeah,
no dice.
Okay.
If she's just had it described, probably.
So I'm running for the prop cabinet.
Yeah.
And
she's chasing right after you. She like trashes craft services on the way through. She slams through one of the sets for no reason. knocks over a camera.
Yeah. And I'm going to just like slide into this this prop. It's like, it's not even really a, it's not a closet. It's just like rows of shelves in the corner. Yeah. Because we're always just pulling out old props.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it. We see like, just I'm looking through different things. There's like there's like four or five different versions of the light jet. There's the head from the robot suit from last season, next to the head from the like the giant monster suit. And then I find the torture device and I grab it. And I go, here, take it. Fine. Just take it. Don't kill me. Don't hurt anyone here.
And when you turn around, she has an arm around the neck of your director and has her claws like right up against his face.
Look, I'm sorry. The director is sorry. He didn't mean to take the thing. We didn't mean to take the device. We just thought it looked cool. But we've used it in our scene. You can have it back now. Tell her we're done with the
we're done with it. We're done. We've got everything we needed. Got some B-roll. It's great.
Here, just let him go and take this.
And she kind of like jerks the director's neck a little bit and says, take it. And he like reaches out to take it from you because she's still going to hold him in hostage position. And she just gets this sneer on her face and she goes, you stupid little idiot child. There's nothing that you can do to stop me from doing whatever I want here. I could kill your whole crew, and there's nothing you could do about it. And she's shifting your labels. She is lowering your danger and raising your mundane.
Unfortunately, I need to reject that.
Okay.
That's a 9.
All right, life is good.
Yeah.
On a 7 to 9, you choose 1. Clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift 1 label up and 1 label down, your choice. Or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
I'm going to shift 1 label up and 1 label down.
Cool. What are you going to do?
I'm going to shift my mundane down and my superior back up.
After like she kind of spits that vitriol at you, she starts backing away with the director. She's still got him.
Okay.
But he luckily has...
Yeah, but I'm following
the funky device.
All the hairs in the back of my neck are like up and I'm just like, I've kind of got a grimace on my face and I'm pulsing the light.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just following her back out of the set.
Okay. Yeah. Her intention is just to move right out to the car.
Yeah.
Unfortunately things are not so happy outside.
No, they're not.
Riposte has picked themselves back up. And they take a second to just work out their shoulders and then offer a chilling smile and say, you got the drop on me once. It's not going to happen again. And then just they move forward. Then the blade is just flashing through the air. And it is crazy sharp. Like there's a moment that you jump over the blade and it slices into the concrete.
Okay.
And just like chips right through. The Damascus steel has the very best blades.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and hit me. It'll be the last thing you do. I'm just charging up so that if he hits me, he'll discharge my dynamo capacitors. Unleash my powers.
I think you're unleashing your powers, yeah.
Oh, jitterbug. I'm going to mark my potential as I roll snake eyes.
Oh my gosh.
That's 4, I believe.
So Riposte just leaps forward. And with the smoothest flicking motion, just taps each of your, what are they called? Like gloves? Are they gauntlets?
The dynamo capacitors?
The dynamo. Just, Riposte just darts forward and with just the smoothest flick, taps each of your dynamo capacitors. And they just crack. And a arc of electricity shoots between the two of them. And you feel them short out completely.
Great.
And that is when Iron Badger, and that hurts also, right? Like that is a burst of power on both of your arms. And I think that's when you're starting to come back to yourself.
I feel like this
is the moment for you to like that burst. I mean, it bursts between your arms and it arcs like through your head to the other arm. And we just get like eyes open, mouth open, and then you're back to yourself. But you remember everything.
Oh, for sure.
But your powers are broken.
For sure.
This isn't like you can fix it by taking 20 seconds.
No, exactly.
These are busted.
Well, I've got to go talk to a Tactitron.
That's true. Always great.
Exactly.
And, no, that's great. And that's when Iron Badger comes through the broken hole in the wall with the director held and claw blades to his neck. Riposte shouts out, "Did you get it?" And she nods and says, "Yeah, I've got it right here." And the director is kind of like holding it in a way. Right now, Riposte can't see it because the director has it like held. But
so I'm following them out. Mm-hmm. Can I pierce Riposte's mask?
Absolutely.
That's a 6.
Okay. So you pause for a moment and you see their eyes like looking over the scene and like taking everything in from a very tactical angle. And Iron Badger gets out through and turns. And the second the Riposte sees the device in the director's hands, he says, "That's a fake."
"No, it's not. It's not a fake. It's the real one. Just take it."
And Riposte then just says, "Kill them all." And Iron Badger pulls back her claw and she's going to jab it into the director's face.
Is there an audience watching me? Because I haven't moved the triggers when I directly engage a threat while the audience is watching me.
Yeah, the crew is very concerned that the director is going to die.
Okay, yeah.
They're a close knit family.
Yeah.
And that's
and
why
they all hate me. nice. But yeah. But I can't let them kill the director. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just like the pulsing light, which is usually just around his feet, kind of like pulses up his body and into the like through the jacket, like because it pulses close to his body, so underneath the jacket you can't see it, mm-hmm. and then it comes out the sleeves, and I'm going to try to harden the light into like a harder light around his hands into some like gauntlets that kind of look like Jitterbug's gauntlets a little bit, and I'm just going to just try to punch the Iron Badger.
Okay, cool. Are you directly engaging her, or are you defending the director?
I'm directly engaging her.
Cool. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
Yeah, and so I have a move called stage fighting. When I directly engage a threat with an audience watching, I can mark a condition to roll superior instead of danger.
Oh, nice.
So I am going to mark guilty.
Okay.
Because I feel bad that like the director got sucked into all of this.
Yeah, that does suck.
Nice. You actually are a human being.
A little bit.
Light Show's had some moments of like emotion. Both this session and other sessions.
So that's a 6.
Do we have any team? We have
one team left.
I guess I got to step in here.
Okay.
So you're like powering in.
Yeah.
Jitterbug's kind of down. She's backed herself. She kind of knows what happened. And she's like, I don't know if she feels responsible, but like she definitely feels like targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got to like show herself, I'm not that.
Yeah.
And I'll never become that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she's just going to leap into the fray. And like the arm that's going to, like, and she has no, all she has is a martial, she's all has a martial arts. She doesn't have her extra weapons, which she's probably been relying on too much. Mm-hmm. So she's just going to jump in and like grab Iron Badger's arms, like go in low and like just try to keep them apart. Just to give a split second. And if the director can fall through as you go in, whatever. But for that moment, she'll be the focus.
Cool. Very nice. Yeah, so we get that panel that shows Light Show coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's going to be a little too slow. Like we see where the blade is. We see where his hand is. And it's not going to be enough. And then Jitterbug gets into place and just like grabs onto one of Iron Badger's big arms and is just holding back for like a second, and bang, we get the hit from Light Show.
Yeah.
So you get to choose one of the four.
I'm going to take something from her.
Okay. What are you going to take?
The director.
I thought that there was a possibility of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you taking the director? Are you just like, he slips free and then gets out of the way?
Yeah, I think it's more that like, Lightshow goes in for like a punch with his right hand and then kind of like with his left hand grabs the director and does this kind of like spin flourish move and tries to like the director is dropping and he's grabbing and throwing towards the studio door.
Nice.
And then spinning around to then like maybe put in another couple punches and be flourishy and showy and fighty.
And like she is affected by these punches. She is not in like, she's not Damascus Steel.
Yeah.
So she's taking the hits and like stepping back and having to deal with you, and then just puts her arms to the side and just kicks you in the chest. And you go hurling back like 10 feet and you slam into the side of the building. And go ahead and take a powerful blow.
Okay. 10, 11.
All right.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
So you can lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, flee, pass out, etc., or choose two from the 7 to 9 list.
I'm going to lose control of my powers.
Okay.
Well, since he's manifested this hard light thing, it's like starting to spray out and like these beams of light, like they slice through.
Yeah.
And then one of them hits.
Hits
the actual device.
Yeah. I think what happens is like I hit the wall, and if I had these like hard light like gloves, they shatter as soon as I hit the wall, and that's when they like the shards fly around,
and they're like beaming out all the way, and one hits that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it hits the device, and there is just this enormous bright light. And it spreads out in those same connected circles that we saw previously for like the void itself. And then it suddenly pulls in and just explodes.
My studio.
Your studio is gone. So you are like stone and rubble flying everywhere. Like the set destroyed, technology destroyed, cameras destroyed. And the crew all like on the ground covered in dust. And, like, Iron Badger is just standing there with a shocked look on her face. And Riposte calls out, "Damn, that had to have been the thing. Let's get out of here." And they're moving back towards the car.
I think I'm very concerned and upset about the studio being destroyed. Mm-hmm. I don't care about them leaving. If they're going to leave, then I'm not going to stop them.
Their plan is to leave.
Jitterbug is not going to stop them. She's too messed up.
Riposte leans out the window as they're getting ready to go and says, "I liked that side of you. Hope we see more of it." And then the car just goes away. I don't know if Riposte is an adult or not. Is Riposte an adult or a teenager?
Like a 19-year-old, so on the
like
cusp.
A 19-year-old. Okay, so they don't necessarily have influence over you automatically.
Yeah,
unless you
now
tell me.
I believe they've gained it now.
Oh, they've gained it now. Very nice. All right, and that's when your phone rings.
Oh,
the screen's cracked.
Yeah, I can't see who it is. So I'm just gonna answer.
You told me that was B.
Yeah,
I'm sitting at B and. I just heard an explosion. Are you all right? There's no one here.
Yeah, it's a long story.
All right. Where is it?
Where's what? You're at B.
My flux capacitor. There's no one here.
I don't have it. I mean, not anymore.
That explosion was it?
Sometimes, when the light is darkest. Things explode and your whole studio is gone. And I think Light Show just kind of sits, like, he, like, leans against the like, a chunk of the remaining wall and just slides to the ground and just, like, lets the phone go. He doesn't even hang up. He's just, like, he's just ruined by this.
Yeah. And there's, like, there's some voice coming through the phone of Crawdad expressing his extreme disappointment. He's not angry.
Yeah.
He's just disappointed. So Jitterbug, the day is won.
The day is won. So can we just cut to her being back in her little lair?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she's just like looking in the mirror. And like she's like looking at her eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the regular eye.
In the reflection, there's like occasional little moments that we see her looking directly into the mirror, and then we see her head kind of superimposed on top of it with like the ghost effect with the head going back and forth. And it keeps snapping back to normal.
I'm Jitterbug.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few with every issue and a response from our editors.
Dear Protean City editors, as a big fan, I try to keep abreast of all of your various comic book lines, but I have to admit that seeing story of hero after hero does get a bit old, and yet whenever I'm perusing the comic book shelves, I never see anything for villains. Have you done any in the past that I can put on special order, or are there any plans to do so in the future? I love the comics, by the way. Sincerely, Scott Paladin.
Thanks, Scott. Protean City has primarily been a company focused on heroes, but we aren't afraid to put some of our villains in the spotlight. Many of the monsters fought by Demoniaco Jr. go on to become main characters in other comic runs. Based on the response to the characters, I think we'll probably see a Damascus Steel comic before too long. I think I can tell you that we've got a brief comic run delving into the origins of Evan Lee and the Appointed coming out early next year.